is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino. Welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we've got Dr. Angie Taylor. She's making the move from the Washoe County School Board of Trustees to the Assembly.
Yes, I'm really excited. I mean, it's certainly there's still work to do, and there's probably always going to be work to do. But yeah, we were able to even if we just work backwards a little bit, we look at getting through COVID. I mean, that 2-year period of time and the things that the teachers just keep going back to them, the educators, and what it took from them to just get through that period to keep it going forward. I mean, the passing of WC1, which is like probably a bookend on the other end, and being able to build schools and really create great learning and working environments for teachers and for kids, and the over $30 million from there that we have been able to spend renovating and revitalizing and all of those things from existing schools. So those things are really solid academic progress that we were in the middle of making. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, graduation rates were something like 59%. That predates me. Yeah, it was really, really, really something to be work, you know, to work on. And we still need to work on them, but we're a whole lot better than that. And then something that we've really been able to focus a lot more on is closing achievement gaps and really targeting, you know, whether you're special ed or whether you're Native American or free and reduced lunch. And, you know, we want those kids to achieve to their absolute best, just like we want gifted and talented kids to achieve to their absolute best, and really being able to target the special needs of kids in special areas so that they can have a great educational opportunity too. So just I hadn't even thought about it until this question just now, because right, I just got to the point where I can say, oh, you know what, I think I won. So yeah.
Well, and I know it's going to be, you love the kids that you in this school district. And it's been your heart to work where you do for the last 8 years. So I really, of all things, you know, I want to hear what you're going to do in the Assembly. But of all things, I wanted to ask you, it's going to really tear you up. I know you love this job so much, and you love being part of the Board of Trustees. And
absolutely. I mean, the 60,000 plus students and the about 8,000 staff members, I mean, that's your drive. You start thinking about what your why. You think about those kids. Right. You think about them and the things that kids go through and at home and in their personal lives. And you think about mental health issues and all the things that they go through, and being able to be a part of helping them get through that. Again, whether you're a homeless kid and you just want the opportunity to get an education so you can better your situation, or whether you're a gifted and talented kid, and people don't think about that. But that's a special needs group, too. Right. They all have individual needs. And so I'm going to miss being as directly involved. I mean, we don't run the day-to-day on the board, but as directly involved in helping those kids. For 8 years, I've had 60,000-plus kids, right? And so it's going to be different.
What are you going to miss the most, besides the kids, obviously, and your work towards making their lives a lot better?
Well, you certainly hit the nail on the head. You just said what I'm going to miss the most is that. I think the other thing is working really hard as a board to continue to create an environment where how can we work well together with the superintendent through some of the, we've gotten through some tough things, you know, people resigning, people having to be asked to resign, contracts not being renewed, again, COVID, turmoil on the board for one reason or another. We've gotten through a lot of that. And I think one of the things I'll miss is one of the biggest challenges in it was leading through that, but I'll miss, you know, kind of leading through some of the turbulent times, because that's the hard stuff, right? That's the hard stuff.
We're talking to Dr. Angie Taylor today, who looks like she won her Assembly seat. So give us the area you're representing and what you're going to do on the Assembly. I'm curious.
Well, I will represent, should things stay the same, District 27. It's west of the university, all west along there. It goes down McCarran, dips over across McCarran a little bit to a little certain part, goes up 7th, goes up Las Brisas, actually goes up north. We actually reach as far as Stead Boulevard, I kind of carve out Golden Valley, but all of Sun Valley, and then back down to McCarran and across. So,
what was your motivation to go for that in particular seat?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it's, you know, part of running is you start looking at what makes sense, right? What works best for you in your personal life, and also what works best on the political landscape. And both the county commission seat, Commissioner Young had termed out that's the seat I would be in. And then Assemblywoman Teresa Benitez Thompson, who was the majority leader, she turned out. So you're right. I could have chosen one or the other. But the county commissioner seat is a full-time job, and as it should be. Right, as it should be. But I have a job. I have a company. I'm a caretaker for my mom. I'm an assistant pastor at my church. So those things take a lot. And although the school board, the way it has been, has really grown into what's almost really a full-time job, quite frankly, I think that argument could be made. It wasn't intended that way. And so going to the legislature, I think it allows me to continue to have my company. I love what I do. I love my team. I love my company. So it's not the full-time day-to-day that the county commission would be. And so that's why I chose the legislature from one or the other, and just in terms of availability, one. Secondly, I think I am best suited, I think, for just kind of going a step above where I was, and not I don't mean in terms of authority or anything like that, but in terms of what impacts the state legislature is what impacts education. The county commission does not impact, it impacts really important things, just not education. So when I look at going on to another step from where I was, that's more of a step, because now the decisions I will hopefully, right, be making in the state legislature, they have an impact on education. And that's my passion. That's what got me into this thing in the first place, as you said. So that's why that has made sense for me. Now the thing for me to begin to do, and I wouldn't allow myself to do it until, let me see if I win this thing, is now there's a lot of, what's the background behind that? Have they ever even considered it? There's so many things to learn. I mean, I know a lot about education because I'm an educator, right? I've been at all my life. But, you know, we do more than education. I'm a small business owner. I get a chance to look at those things that impact small businesses. Healthcare is critically important. What are those things? How do we meet the needs of a growing state? And the healthcare needs don't get less; they get more. I mean, there's so many things for me to learn about now as I go. So I need to learn as much as I can about the background of it. And then this is when you really make good relationships with people that work, let's say, some environmental issues, for an example. There are some things that I know a little bit about it, but there are people that do that all day, every day. And so I'll need to look to learn from them as well, because we make decisions about all of that stuff, and we only have 120 days to do it. My eyes right now on, man, I've got a whole lot to learn.
All right, Dr. Taylor, last thing I want you to do for any people listening right now, worked with you over there at the district, or any students that may be up this morning taking a listen, got a message for everybody in the district before you head off into the sunset?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that either, but I would say this, just stay at it. Well, if you're a student and you're in it, stay at it. Get as much as you can. High school is a wonderful time of your life. Get as much as you can out of it. Do your best, because you don't know. You don't know when you're going to look back and say, man, I should have taken that class seriously. Right? So do your best, but get everything out of it. Get everything out of it. Stay at it. Sometimes there are obstacles, there's barriers. There's, you know, like COVID came out of nowhere and shook the whole world, but stay at it. For those working in education, I'd say the same thing. Stay at it. What we do is so important. I really believe that being on the school board, you know, it really is what they call a down ballot race. It should be up higher, because it impacts our whole community so much. And what the educators do every day, stay at it. I know it's hard. I know it's frustrating. I know you don't get paid enough at all. But stay at it. It means so much. It's worth it. You're worth it. I so appreciate the run that I was able to have been able to have with the school board. I've been so blessed by support, by opportunities. But, man, stay at it, because it matters. Stay at it. Stay at it. Leadership matters. So as you stay at it, just like them, leadership matters. Just remember, as a leader, you have much more influence and much more impact than you probably even recognize every day. Because that administrative team is such a great team, and they put their heads down and they work, and they just get through it and just work and work and work. We have a not brand new anymore, but relatively new superintendent who I think is doing an amazing job. Going to take us you know, to wherever that next place is. And so, fully support her. You guys, they certainly stay down, stay at it, as I said, stay at it. But remember, leadership matters. And leadership is about people. People, people, people.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
News Talk 780 KOH.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino. Welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today, we have the pleasure of chatting with our new Secretary of State-elect here in Nevada, Cisco Aguilar. Going to talk to him about the run he just had in his campaign and about what his plans are for his term in office. What inspired you to run for this office, out of curiosity?
It was a couple of things. One, being an attorney and doing corporate filings for the last 14 years at Agassiz, you know, really got to know the system, understood how the system worked, and it wasn't always easy. So I was just thinking in my head, if a business doesn't have the resources to hire an attorney, how do these small businesses survive? And if they're not compliant with the Secretary of State's office, they can't have a bank account, they can't access capital. And I thought, we should be better at this, and we can be. And that would be my initial interest. And then when I, you know, the November 2020 election came around, and I've been engaged in education ever since I moved to Nevada. And Clark County has the fifth largest school district in the country, doesn't have the greatest education outcomes that we should have. And I think, you know, education needs to be a priority throughout the state. I know Washoe public education also too could use support. And we got to get these parents to the polls to vote for education priorities. And if we don't provide access to the polls, we're not going to get those educational outcomes we need as a state.
Right. We have to be able to offer that for everybody. You worked for Harry Reid. That's a big deal.
Well, I love how everybody classifies me as that position, but I was a legal clerk. Like, I was in law school, spent time in the leadership office, and it was one of the most incredible experiences, and I got to know the senator pretty well. And that was a huge experience. And, you know, when I decided to run, I immediately called him and said, I'm thinking of doing this, and he jumped in all the way. So grateful.
Yeah, it was a major loss. I'm guessing since you went back so far with him that when he passed away like he did, left a big gap in your life there, didn't it, Cisco?
It did, absolutely. And just, you know, from a mentoring, coaching perspective, right, and not being this is my first time being a candidate, that was a huge resource or, you know, opportunity of just development of a skill set that I didn't have.
And as a Democrat, you're replacing a Republican in this position, which is interesting because Nevada likes to flip-flop. We go from a Democrat to a Republican to a Republican. We want to sample a little bit of everybody. And the governor's race was a prime example of that this year. But yeah, so you were playing Barbara Sagaski. Talk about that a little bit, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, I think Nevada is a deep purple state. And I think we look at each individual race different from the others, and Nevadans make a decision on who's the most qualified or who's the person they think best represents Nevada. But Barbara Sagaski has done a phenomenal job as Secretary of State. Some of the decisions she made in some very difficult times were the right decisions for all Nevadans. She never made a decision that was based on party. She made it what was in the best interest to ensure that all Nevadans have an opportunity to engage in our political process. And that's going to be my job. My job is to look at this from a lens of, hey, this, what are we doing in the best interest of Nevadans? And make those hard decisions at those hard times.
So what did we're talking today with Cisco Aguilar. Did I pronounce it right? I don't want to. Mine's Daniela Cenino, and everybody messes that up all the time. Did I say it properly, Cisco?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously you can say Aguilar, but if you want to say
it. No, my mom always used to harass me because, you know, we're Italian, and she's like, you don't know how to roll your R's. How can you be Italian and not know how to do that? So, yeah, I'm sorry. It's going to be Aguilar, and then that just is the way I am. I apologize on that. This is a big thing for not just you, but talk about your family's reaction when you decided to jump in the ring for this Secretary of State position, and also the fact that you won. I'm guessing the whole family was just like, woo, right?
Well, yeah, look, you know, my family is a hardworking family. My dad worked 3 jobs when I was young. My mom stayed home, raised us. And we were just a typical hardworking family. And I didn't know what sacrifices my parents were making, but over the years of being able to learn what opportunities they provided me, and when I told them I was going to run for Secretary of State, they kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And to begin with, they didn't even understand what a Secretary of State did. And so it was the opportunity to get a chance to explain to them what a Secretary of State does, which helped me on the campaign trail because a lot of people don't know. And so being able to explain it to them in a way that they would understand and get engaged. But, you know, my mom was a huge part of this campaign. She appeared in my first political ad, which I was shocked she was willing to do. And she did a great job. She became a hero on the campaign trail because a lot of times when I would talk to voters directly, they would want to talk about my mom. That was awesome.
Your mom was one of the stars of your commercials. That's kind of cool.
It was great. She loved it. She loved being in Nevada when we were campaigning because people would recognize her. But election night was hard because we didn't know the results. And when I did find out the results, I was actually standing at a grocery store and I called them to say we won, and it was quite the reaction.
You know, we're coming out of what I would call 6 years of election denial, as evidenced by 62 court cases that said, no, you're wrong, this was legitimate. Were you hesitant to jump in the role? Barbara took a lot of heat in the last couple of years, especially from those in her own party.
That's unfortunate, and I understand the challenge and the responsibility we have to deal with that issue. But I think as we go through election cycles, that's going to start to disappear because election deniers aren't going to be successful in the future. I think we're starting to see it in the 24 campaign. However, it does exist, and unfortunately exists because my opponent continued to spread lies and disinformation. And so we have to go out there and fight that information and get people, one, to trust me. But trust takes a while to build. But it means I have to be present, I have to be engaging, and I have to be willing to listen. Even though it's going to be a hard environment, I have to remain confident that we can get to the right place, because it's in the best interest of Nevada.
I think that was the joy of Barbara Sagaski, is even though she is a registered and publicly identified member of the GOP party, she didn't hesitate to hand it to all the people that stood up in the last election, not the one that just passed, but the prior, and say, you know, nope, sorry, this is legitimate, and you must be quiet now.
Yes. Look, I've served as a regulator. I was chairman of the Nevada Athletic Commission. I know what a regulator's responsibility is. And so taking that experience and applying it to the Secretary of State's office, a lot of times a lot of people were happy with some of the decisions we made in the short term, but they, in the long term, they started to realize what importance the decisions we were making impacted the sport. And I think it's the same thing here with our elections. Is yes, there's going to be some short-term pain, but it's for the benefit of the long-term.
Cisco Aguilar, our new Secretary of State here in the state of Nevada, congratulations. Top 3 priorities now that you're going to take the helm and guide us for the next several years. Priorities in the office.
It's to introduce legislation to make it a felony to harass our election workers and volunteers. Our elections only work because of the human component. And we have to protect the human component, because we got to retain the talent we have that are running our elections, and we have to be able to recruit talent in the future. And if people feel unsafe going to a job, they're not going to do it. And most of these people are doing this job because it's a job and they take pride in the work they do. They don't have a personal agenda or they don't have a desired outcome. They're working these jobs because they're trying to support their families and put food on the table. And so we have to have their back, and I'm going to fight for it. The other is really looking at our corporate filing system, making sure we're doing the best we can for our small businesses, is really get in into the system and understanding what the staff perspective in all of this is, and then figuring out how we can do better. And then third is really continuing to build voter confidence. We have to make sure that voter confidence remains high in Nevada, not just in Washoe and Clark, but all of our 17 counties.
To me, voter confidence is stronger than ever because so many people are coming out to show that they want to voice their vote. Do you think voter confidence is an issue in Nevada?
I don't. It's just disproving all the lies and conspiracy theories that my opponent has been spreading. So just making sure we address those issues to continue to build that voter confidence. And also, too, to stand up and protect the voter access that we have. Nevada has some of the greatest voter access in the country, and we got to continue to protect it because we see it works well, people appreciate it, and people want it. It's not a party issue at all. It's making sure that we continue to have that access that gives everybody in Nevada the opportunity to vote. It's our working class. It's our native communities. It's our rural communities. And it's also our urban core who are working hard to support themselves.
All right. And lastly, what's the takeaway from this last election for you when it comes to the state of Nevada?
Right. I think, again, hey, we're a very deep purple state. One, you have to have a vision. You have to be mindful that all Nevadans are important. And it comes down to retail politics. You have to be present. You have to engage. And you have to make yourself available because that's who Nevada is.
Right. Send a message to all the listeners right now that are tuning in to hear what you had to say.
I'm excited. I'm motivated. I'm super humbled, super honored to earn the confidence of Nevada voters. And I will work hard.
Thank you once again, Cisco Aguilar, our newly elected Secretary of State here in the state of Nevada. Thank you so much for that conversation we just had. And I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.